Morning. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And look, we want to welcome everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone that is watching by Facebook, YouTube here, that the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your life this day. There's no one greater than our God, people. It struck me. Andrew was praying about with Mr. Hector, and he said something. He said, revival to be in that family. And it just pierced my heart, and I said, Lord, I want revival in every family. Yes. Revival. Because when revival hits, there's no turning back. Amen. When revival hits by the power of God, that no man can do the things that God can do. No man can bring a man to his knees. No man can bring a man to repentance except the Holy Spirit that can do it. You know, I often think of Paul. I mean, you know, Paul wasn't, you know, the great apostle Paul. He wasn't even one of the 12 disciples. But he wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. At least that. When he got saved, he was hit by the power of God, fell off of that horse. A light shone upon him. He called upon the Lord. He got saved right there, but he was blind. He couldn't see. And God had to powerfully come and do a mighty thing using a man to pray over him to receive his sight back. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. Let me tell you something. We still live in the days of miracles where God can do what he can do. He can, you know, I know most people don't ride horses and whatever nowadays. You know, we have our GMCs and we have our Chevys and we have our Toyotas. Lord have mercy. Toyota. No. Ford. We have all that stuff, you know, whatever, Cadillacs and Nissans and all that stuff. You know, God can still shine a light so bright and change the direction of men and women by the power of Almighty God. We still live in those days, people. God has not changed. It says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power of Almighty God. That he can do the miraculous. Look, stay on your knees before God for your family. And let me tell you, revival will come. Revival will hit. And sometimes it may be at the most unexpected time. Just like Saul was going to Damascus to arrest and kill and destroy God's people. Not thinking he was doing the will of God. And revival set into his home. And look what God did in his heart and life. So you see, we all have hope of what God can do. God can take the lowliest of mankind, what man thinks is the lowliest, and make him high up in the kingdom of God. God can do it. He can make somebody with a no name and make him a name. He can take somebody that is low and bring him high in the kingdom of God. That's the power of Almighty God, changing the hearts and lives of his people by the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost. He can take a person on drugs and clean them up. My God, he can do those things. You see, he's the only one that can take the desire out. That's God. Only man can change kind of the will of man a little bit and make him not want to do certain things a little bit. But it's only God that can take the desire out of doing those things that are bringing destruction upon themselves and upon their hearts and upon their lives. That's the power of God. When there's no more desire for those things, it's like, where has it gone? It's gone back to the pit of hell where it came from. By the power of Almighty God, cleaning us up, making us strong in the power and the presence of Almighty God. That's our God. That's our God. All righty, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Just a matter of note to you. Please pray for our Supreme Court. We need a God intervention. We need for them to make the right decision with all this vaccine stuff. Look, you know, if whoever wants to take it, that's fine. Whoever doesn't want to take it, it's fine with me. That's not the thing. What's the main thing is this, it's when it's mandatory by the government, something's wrong. That's the problem. So we hope, as we pray, because it's gone before them. I think it was Monday. Tomorrow, is it? Or was it Friday? So they're litigating on it. They're deliberating on it. So we thank God for our last president that put in some conservative people in there, on there. And so we just pray, God intervene. God intervene. God intervene. Bring it before the God of the universe. God can come into that room as they litigate these things and change the hearts and minds of the people. You see, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and I will come in. That's God. God wants to come in. God is tired of being separate from his people. God wants to come in and be with the people. So we need to pray and ask God to move upon that situation. So keep that before God. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Here we see God is saying, or God through to the Ephesians, through the Apostle Paul, he's saying, children, don't be tossed to and fro. You know, I'm sure everybody's been to the beach or some kind of water, whatever it is, whatever water, you know. Could be the Gulf, could be the beach, wherever you want to go. And you'll see sometimes they might have some trash in there too, you know. I mean, it's beautiful here or there, but sometimes they might have a bottle or something, or a plastic bottle, or they might have a piece of wood. And you look at the waves as the waves come. And that object is moved around whatever way the waves want to take it. Huh? No matter what. No matter if the bottle, let's say it's a bottle, and the bottle says in its mind, fiction, okay. You got it. Good job, guys. Good job. That, hey, I want to go south. And the wind's blowing from the south, and that wind says, and the water's tossing to and fro, you going north, no matter what. God is saying this. We need to not be tossed to and fro, people. There are some core values, core values of Christianity that God wants to make sure that we have firm within our, that we are firm in our beliefs in those areas. Now, I'm not talking about things that as we read the scripture and God enlightens some things to us. That's the Spirit of God. But there are certain beliefs that we need to have in Christendom that we cannot be swayed by what the media says or by whatever preacher says that is not correct with the full knowledge of the Word of God. You see, anyone can take one scripture or one part of a scripture and take it out of context. You got to watch that. Got to watch where, how God has that meaning in that chapter or in that book or in that verse. so that it is not taken out of context. And we don't want to go from left to right constantly. God says he is a firm foundation, and we need to have a firm beliefs in certain things that we are not swayed at all, no matter what's going on in the world. And it really now, today, it does not matter what's going on in the church itself. We need to come to a place of maturity, people. It says that we are to not to be carried, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Every wind, there's so many things, people, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that we need to be mature in Christ, knowing what we believe, have the scriptures to back it up. And we're going to get into some things to know what is the firm foundation of what we should know without a shadow of a doubt, that it does not sway from this at all. Not a little bit, not just a tad bit, not just an eighth or a sixteenth of an inch at all. But it stands firm in that word, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that this is it. You know, it says in Proverbs that iron sharpens iron. And what they would do is they had their axes and they'd take a file, which is a piece of iron, and would file that axe to make it sharp. You know, we need to make sure that we never sway from the truth of the gospel at all. It takes a man with strong courage, holy ambition, and with a strong moral and spiritual life to sharpen or affect the lives of his friends and others. My Lord, core values of what we believe and what we stand for and what is absolutely truth and right. I want you to turn, and number one is I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Look at this, and I'll read it from here. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here we see God is saying this. The first one, the Bible is the inerrant word of God. It's just not part of the word of God, but it is the exact word of God. Now you might say, well, you know, now you can get in the debate of, because you see, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Now, sometimes in the translation, from bringing it down and translating it to English, or translating it into Spanish, or translating into whatever language, sometimes if it's not translated right, it may lose some of its what it actually means. That's why we got to be careful. But the inerrant word of God, that this is the word of Almighty God. This is it. This is it. That we cannot stray from this anymore. That we cannot do anything that is contrary, that we know of, to this word. Because God says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means this is the written word of God, inspired by God Almighty upon his throne as he moved upon men to pin down the word of God for us. Amen. Honestly, where would we be without the Bible? Yeah, we don't even really want to know. Where would we be without able to get up early in the morning or before we go to bed or at lunchtime and take that word and just open it up? Could be now on our phones. I mean, you know, there's so much now, you know, phones. And but I'm just talking about opening up the written word and just reading it. We got to believe and we got to know, because of the scripture, especially in 2 Timothy, that this is God's word that has been given unto us. That we cannot stray from this word at all. That when we read it, we got to believe it. We may not understand it all. Okay? God didn't say that God says what? Study to show yourself approved unto him. He said study. He didn't say you'd know it all or I would know it all. But we have to just study and read and say, Lord, show me this scripture. You see, we got to stay informed. That should be our core belief. Because there are people out there that will say that this is not the word of God. That this is the word of man. And men, yes, men wrote it. But they don't understand this. It was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that was moved. He moved upon these men. You know how it is when the power of God comes into your home or into your church or into your workplace. You're reading something, writing something, whatever it is. And the power of Almighty God comes in and you just start writing down. Or you start, you know, for a sermon. Or you start doing whatever. The power of Almighty God. You see, without being born again, they don't realize that this is not just the words of mere men upon the earth, but this is the word of Almighty God. Amen. That is upon the throne of heaven and sits there and is judging and giving out his love towards the whole world this day. That this is him in writing upon us. Hallelujah. You know, I often think, you know, God chose the Jewish people, but God used the Jewish people to give us the word. Now, that doesn't mean that they're more important than what we are as Gentiles, because anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile, no matter what race, black, white, Asian, no matter what. Everybody's a Gentile if you're not a Jew. God chose the Jewish people to have them write that word and to give out the gospel. They wrote the word as the power of God came upon them. But he took the Gentiles. God had to take it from the Jews and give it to the Gentiles to give out that word to the lost and dying generation. See, we need to stand firm knowing that this is the word of God no matter what. This is him giving everything unto us. The Bible is the foundation for all Christian doctrine and belief. This is our foundation. Not what man thinks. Something else too. Not what man says God revealed to him and it's not written in here. Okay? Got to be careful. There's much of that going on today. You know what that is? That's seducing spirits that have gone around and given out false doctrine. Because let me tell you, if you can't back it up and back it up scripturally right, something's wrong. That's why I'll tell you, sometimes this is what I believe, this is what I think. I don't see it, but this is what I'm leaning towards. I always try to bring that out. See, we need to know that this is the word of God. And God will stand firm in his word, and he will never go against it. That we herald it forth as we stand upon the word of God. And it can be stood upon. It is God's written word to mankind. Everything you believe as a Christian comes from within the pages of the scripture. We can never divert from the map. The Bible is the inerrant word of God, no matter what. No matter what people say, no matter, you know, they say, well, this error, this error, this error. Let me tell you, it's not because there's error in the word. There's error in translation sometimes. That's what it is. But not in the inerrant word of God, the way God gave it through the men that he used. Oh, yeah, she's ready. All right. She's either dirty, hungry, or sleepy. Oh, she hears me. Okay, she knows I'm talking about her. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Let this be the year that we treasure this word, people. Don't let it just sit there and collect dust. and you will, and wipe it off on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever day. Use it. Read it. Discover the God that you hear about in the pages of the Scriptures. Discover the God that you hear about that's given everything unto us. Discover Him in the Scriptures. Let Him become alive unto you this day. Also, number two, Core believes that all men and women are sinners. I know, you know, sometimes we think we're pretty good. And, you know, hey, thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God, because if it wasn't for that, where would we be? But in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, let's read that scripture. Romans 3, 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Bring up the other scripture, Romans 3, 23, found on page 1974. It says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to know that we are all sinners, people. I mean, that's just it. It says that Jesus came and died on the cross for us because we needed a Savior. Because of who? Somebody help him unlock that door, please. Thank you. That we are all sinners. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. No matter what, we can claim that we're pretty good. And hey, by the grace of God, thank the Lord. But that we all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. And we are all sinners because the Word of God says so. That we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That needs to be a core belief. That everybody out there, all of us in here, that we are sinners. Now we're saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. And because of being saved by grace, and we have the blood of Jesus covering us and cleansing us from all sin, now He can make us into what He wants us to be. And we don't have to sin anymore. Even though we have the sin nature in us, God helps us by the Holy Spirit to gain strength and have the power to overcome these things as we put our faith and trust in our God and in who He is. Okay? So we are all sinners, people, no matter what. That's a challenge that many people have, that we're all sinners. No one is without sin. Hard for some to believe, and it can become a stumbling block to some, you know. That's just how it is. We must admit that we are sinners. You know, in order to be born again, you know, born again, and John chapter 3 talks about being born again. One thing we have to do is confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need You. That means, you know what? I can't save myself. And I need a God that can help me. See, that's saying, look, I put my faith and trust in Jesus and what He did at Calvary's cross. Number three, that Jesus is the only hope for salvation. Oh, my Lord, that's a stickler. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at this, Acts 4:12. Let's look at that scripture. Page 1908. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other way of redemption. And redemption is just an action of being saved from sin. No other way to have a relationship with the Father but through Jesus. And there's no other way of salvation. That Jesus is the only hope for salvation. This is a stickler. And this is what drives me more than anything, probably, to share the gospel with people, is because I know Jesus is the only way. And anytime somebody puts their faith in something else besides Jesus, that means heaven is not their home. When they pass away, or, you know, whatever happens, or if Jesus comes, the rapture of the church. See, that's the thing that should drive you and I more than anything, knowing that Jesus is the way and there's no other way. That is a core value. We know, you know, certain religions, they say you can go through this saint or that saint or Mary or whatever else, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff. But we know that is not truth. That is not truth. That is not truth. Anyone that calls upon the name of Jesus, just even like the thief on the cross, he turned and said, "Remember me." That, I mean, he was saying, "I have no hope in myself, but I have hope in you." My God. My God. And then you have the other one looking to Jesus and cursing at him. That's the picture of the world today, people. That's the picture of the world. You have some that are, their hearts are tender before God, and they're saying, there's no other way. And they turn to him, and he loves them and cares about them and saves their soul. Then you have another picture of the world where they just hate Jesus, or they hate that he's the only way. They don't want to accept it. We need to have, that has to be a core value to us. You know, that's why that drives me. Lord, open up doors for me. Help me to share the gospel wherever I am. Because I know if I can point somebody to Jesus in any way, that Father, you, by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will come forth and show them how faithful you are and who you are. You see, all God expects from his people is to be the oracle, the mouth of sharing that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Is Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Is Jesus Christ in giving of his life for us. That we can now have John chapter 3, the salvation of our hearts and souls because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. You know, now I'm not going to argue with people, and I'll tell them though, and I'll walk away. I'm not going to argue, but I know this, I have something firm to stand on. That's the word of God. What do you have? And a lot of them will say, well, I have religion, I have my church. That doesn't mean a hill of beans to me, because they're wrong. And we need to stand firm, because let me tell you, souls are in the balance. And the enemy has lulled the church asleep and said, whatever way is okay. And look, by the way, when a person passes away, they go to heaven or whatever, you know, they go to their destiny, heaven or hell, whatever it is. We hope heaven. We pray and we cry for that, Lord. Their spirit does not stay upon the earth anymore. Okay. Now, you know, this is what I know, though. Because there's a lot of memories of these people. You know, like, you know, I know sometimes you'll pass in a store or you'll pass a food place and you smell something. And it smells like maybe a grandparent's home. Her cooking or his cooking or just certain things. That's not their spirit here, okay? You know, because you hear like, I feel, you know, his spirit, you know, while I'm driving or something. Or I feel his spirit in my home. Let me tell you, you don't want that. That's not correct, you see? That's not correct. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. What our job is to do is to tell people and to snatch them from going in that direction towards a destruction. that was made not for humanity, but was made for the demons in hell, or demons that are roaming the earth too. It was made for that, not for humanity, because we were made in the image of our God. And I've told you this before. Every time the enemy looks at you and I, he sees God. That's why he hates humanity. We're made in the image of our God, spirit, soul, and body. We are precious in the sight of God. It says that we were made a little lower than Elohim. Elohim is who? That's the God, the Father. We were made a little lower than him. In translation, I know it does say, in, if you read it, a little lower than the angels. That's not correct. You go back to the original. It should be Elohim. Angels wish they could be like us as far as having the mercy and the grace of God. It took one mistake of angels and God got rid of a third of them. He knows what's best. He made them. He made them. And they rebelled one time that we know of in scriptures. And God got rid of a third of them. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And you know what he did for us? He sent the best he had. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is the only way. We need to make sure we keep that at the forefront of our hearts and lives, that it is the thing that drives us to tell people about Jesus Christ, that God, and we got to pray. We got to seek God's face. We got to pray for revival in each of our families, that the power of God will touch them, that God will break those chains of bondages upon the hearts and lives of brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and husbands and wives and children. My God, we don't realize how powerful we are in the kingdom of God, that the things that God gives us to destroy the enemy and his tactics upon the earth and upon our families. The enemy, it says, comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and what? That's what he wants to do. But you know what? God has given what? Life. And to have it what? More abundantly. That's what God wants to do. So that's what we pray. We seek God. And we say, Lord, bring the abundant life upon our families, Lord. Work within their hearts. Work within their lives. And be with them. I wonder... Just as Jesus on that cross snatched one out of the pit of hell, I wonder how many times we, by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, have snatched people out of hell. I mean, from going to that place. Now, once they're there, they're there. You can't, and I don't want to see anyone there. I want to depopulate that place if I could. And not let anyone go there. But I wonder how many times you and I were talking with people. And they might not have shown any response, but you never know on their deathbed what God can do. The Holy Spirit can bring back the remembrance of them speaking to you. And what God has done. How you told them that it was only Jesus. And they call upon his name. That's all it takes. The guy on the right side said, Lord, remember me. That's all it says. Remember me. He didn't bow his head. He didn't say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And all that, that's a great prayer and all that. But all he said was, remember me. He called upon him. Look, we don't know how many times, because of you listening to the Spirit of God and sharing the gospel with people, telling them the only way there was, they lived the life of religion, and they come down to the place where they're not even sure if they will open the portals of heaven, because they're not assured in Christ. And they think back, and God brings back to remembrance that you told them about him, about Jesus. And they think about it, and they call upon him. And let me tell you, their home is heaven. My God, my God. We need to keep that as a core value, because he is the only way. Don't accept 100 different ways. Don't accept any other way. There's only one door. There's only one door that leads outside to this building right here. There's another one back there, but I'm talking about this one. And by the way, do y'all like the front?
Yeah. Very good. You did a good job.
Well, all I did was sign. No. Mr. Sheldon did most of that. I mean, not did the work, just got the person to do it and stuff. So I know we had been wanting to do that. You know, we kept saying Mount Sinai there, you know. You had to help your ladies, especially ladies, kind of get down, you know, because I didn't want any, or men, whoever, you know, I didn't want anybody to fall, but that's how we got it when we moved in. So, but I just thank the Lord for giving us the funds and the ability to do that and to get it done, you know. So, you know, just, you know, we're going to put handrails and stuff, okay. That's just, we have to wait a little bit, but it's coming, you know. And I guess you could see one of the windows is broken. Yeah, somebody's talked about it. Yeah, it looks like stained glass. We can color it, you know. No, the guy's taking care of that. I mean, accidents happen and, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, we just thank the Lord for his blessings and giving and doing and stuff. And, you know, as you give, we're able to do. That's all I know to do. I said, Lord, if it's there, we do it. If not, I can't do it. And so thank you for your giving. You might say, you can't write your name now, but I should have wrote everybody's name, you know. And then you know what happened? I would have forgot somebody. Oh my God, what do we do? Just take a chalk or something and write it in, you know. No, but it goes, everybody, thank you so much, and we certainly do appreciate it. But the core value that Jesus is the way, people. Jesus is the only way. We need to keep that at the forefront of our church. That will make us share Jesus. And don't be scared to share about Jesus. Amen. I know it. You know, you can be a little nervous. I understand that. You know, a little nervous. Ask God for boldness. Boldness with love. Boldness with love. To stand and share about him to a lost and dying generation. And also we know this, a core value that he is resurrection. Jesus rose from the grave. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 18, and I'm going to go through this a little bit. And also we know another core value is the deity of Christ. And deity is just Jesus Christ was God in human form. His deity. Also the last thing is this, that the return of Jesus and the hope of eternal life. Jesus is coming. We need to keep that in the forefront. We need to keep that in the forefront. As a church, we believe, and I've studied scriptures, I've read, I've looked back, and we believe he's coming before the great tribulation. You might say, well, aren't we in tribulation now? Yes, I guess, you know, if you want to say it that way. But we're not in the great tribulation. Just read it and you'll see. There's no way possible. Jesus is coming soon, people. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. If you could bring that up, please. Thank you. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, that we shall be changed in the twinkling. We know just, God says that he will split those eastern skies one day. He's coming. I said, Lord, help us to get the job done. I don't want anybody to not have the knowledge or the opportunity to accept Christ, not to have it. Help us to get the job done. We know it says that Jesus says that he will split those eastern skies and he will come. And he will not set his foot upon the earth, because that's not the second coming. We're talking about the rapture of the church. Then we which are alive remaining, which shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Then after the tribulation, we will come back with him, and where he will set his foot upon the Mount Olivet. And then that's when things will happen. Well, during that time. And so, you know, we need to keep that in the forefront, people, that Jesus is coming back. We have hope. You know, we have hope either way. Either we will close our eyes and pass away and we will be with him in heaven, or we will be alive and he will come in. The trumpet will sound and we will all be transformed and changed in a twinkling of an eye and be with him in heaven. That's a win-win situation, huh? Win-win, no matter what. But that has to be a core value, that he is coming back for us, that we're not left here alone, but the Spirit of God is moving upon the earth, and he is coming back for his people because he loves us and wants to be reunited with each and every one of us. You know, always remember this, that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You might say, well, Pastor, there's some things in my heart, in my life that I want to get rid of. I understand. I understand. Put your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, and he will help you overcome those things. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I do it again or say it again or whatever? Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Say, Father, I put my faith and trust in you again, no matter what. And I'm telling you, it will come where that thing will be broken off of your heart and off of your life. The power of Almighty God in who he is. Core values, he's coming again. We trust in his word, that is the inerrant word of God, my Lord. And that it is through Jesus Christ that salvation will come, that we put our faith in him, in being born again, in who he is. Keep those core values, and I'm telling you, it will drive you to share the gospel. It will drive you to do what God wants you to do in your heart and in your life. Amen.